This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
Book of James quickly, James chapter 1. And while you're turning there, you can just kind of remain there because I'll be going back to this passage often. And I think Brother Tim said the steeple looks so nice and painted. Well, Brother Donnie did just such a wonderful job cleaning it. It just looks like it's been painted. And I think I see a promotion in my future in the days to come. So we're going to try and get some paint on that before Easter, hopefully. So amen. Things are looking good, aren't they? Amen. Amen. And I'm glad to see what God's doing in our lives. James chapter 1. I know you've been standing. Let me move quickly. Verse 12 of James chapter 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." I want to talk to us this morning with this subject, turning a stumbling block into a stepping stone. Turning a stumbling block into a stepping stone. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I hope in this lesson today that I can help us all, because I'm going to be dealing with a subject that every one of us face. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. We all face this subject that I'm going to be dealing with today, and that subject is temptation. Everybody say temptation. What if we could turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones? Because we look at temptation as being a stumbling block. We usually, too, in our human nature, when we pray to the Lord, most of the time we pray prayers like, "God, remove this out of my way." You go back to the writings of Paul, he even prayed that God would remove a thorn out of his flesh. And the Bible says he prayed three times for this, if my memory serves me correctly. And so we generally pray for God to remove these stumbling blocks. And that's not necessarily maybe, I don't really want to debate this morning about whether that's a proper prayer or improper prayer. I know that Jesus, concerning this, when he began to lead his disciples into prayer, he said these words in Matthew chapter 6 of the Lord's Prayer, verse 13. Jesus says here, and says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So in his prayer, as he's leading the disciples, Jesus began to teach them how that in your prayer you should pray this, "Lead us not into temptation." So perhaps we certainly can ask for stumbling blocks to be removed. Maybe ask for a detour around them in our prayer. But let me challenge you this morning to change your thinking today about stumbling blocks. Can we perhaps look at stumbling blocks this morning in a different way? I would like to help someone today who has maybe been frustrated in the past when seeing an obstruction on your path to, on the pathway to heaven's, on heaven's highway. And maybe you viewed the stumbling blocks in a wrong manner. But we're going to look through the book of James this morning. I'm going to show you how you can turn a stumbling block into a stepping stone. James chapter 1, let's go back. And we're going to read from verse 2. After James gives a brief greeting here, he starts his writing off like this in verse 2. Look how James begins pretty much his writing. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Now, we've all quoted this scripture. No doubt whenever we face temptations, we face trials, we remember this passage. And in essence, James, what he is saying here, he's basically telling us to be happy when you face many temptations. That's what he's telling us here. That's how he begins his writings. And when you look ahead and see many stones in your pathway, he's telling us, don't get uneasy. He's telling us, don't worry, don't fret, don't panic whenever there's stumbling blocks along your journey. When trials are aplenty, that's not always a curse, folks. That's not always a hiccup along the road or a pothole that we face whenever things come our way. That's the will of God sometimes for our lives. See, we got to hold on a second, and we need to approach this roadblock a little differently, don't we? Because instead of praying for the stone to be removed, praying for the obstruction to be out of the way, perhaps we should think a little bit differently. That stone that is in your way, that great boulder that just will not budge, that rock that refuses to roll out of your way, could it be there for a reason?
That's right.
You see, before we answer that question this morning, let me answer some others, like, Let's answer this question in this lesson. Why is the stumbling block there in the first place? You ever wonder that in your mind? Why am I facing this right now? Why am I facing this temptation in my life? Why is it here? And James, in his writing, helps us once again. Because he says, for when a person decides to walk away from lust and sin along the pathway, something's going to happen. Our flesh is tempted, right? The Spirit of God wants to direct us and bring us forward, but the old carnal, sinful nature, this flesh of ours, it's always trying to fight back. And so James says in his writing, let's read it again. Verse 12, he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now notice here, let's read it slowly. He says, for when he is tried, not if he is tried, when you are tried. That's what James is speaking to us today. He said, when the temptation comes, when the trial comes, not if it's going to come, it's going to be there. And let's read on. He says, he shall receive a crown, the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, verse 13, he said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man, verse 14, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. His own lust and enticed. You see, your journey, sometimes it's going to be a rocky road. And I'm not talking about rocky road ice cream with cream and marshmallows. I'm talking about a rough road at times. Things are not always going to be easy. And when temptation comes, it's going to do... Temptation does two things to us. It does two things to an individual. It will give the individual an occasion to do wrong, to make a mistake, thus a stumbling block, or it can give an opportunity for one to make the right decision, thus creating a stepping stone in their life. So temptation is going to do two things to you. It's either going to cause you to stumble, or it's going to cause you to be uplifted. Am I making sense this morning? So we have to stop looking at the rocks as stumbling blocks and start viewing them as stepping stones, which is hard for us to do. For when temptation comes, it's going to change some things. Temptation has always been Satan's primary weapon to fight against Christians. He uses temptation. And let me just explain for a few moments. This is how the devil uses temptation. We know we've been taught to love everybody, right? To love even your enemies and pray for them, right? Is that not in the Word? Can I get amen? So what does Satan do to tempt us? We know we're supposed to love everybody, love our enemies. So Satan moves upon somebody, places somebody in our path, shoves them in our way, shoves somebody that's unlovable. It's a temptation for us because we know we've got to love everybody. And so here comes this unruly person in our life, this contrary person that doesn't want to get along with everybody. And we wonder, why do I have to work with that person? Why do I have to sit by that person in church? I hope that's not happening here. That's maybe a bad example. Why is that happening to me? Why do I have to work with somebody like that? Well, perhaps God wants to take that stumbling block and use that for you to advance in His kingdom. You see, let's look at another example. We know we should walk by faith. We know without faith it's impossible to please God. We know we should trust in Him in all things. The Scripture, we say, quote the Scripture, Proverbs 3 and 5, talks about trusting in the Lord with all thine heart. And it looks good on paper, doesn't it? But let's put it to the test. Satan brings something our way that puts our faith to the test. Satan throws a fiery dart our way. He throws an impossible situation our way. An unexplainable storm comes along and it blows down our front door. A great boulder falls down, splat, right in front of our little quiet lives. And so now our faith is tested, right? Temptation comes our way. Are we going to trust in God? And so as Satan's doing all these things, God is watching at the same time. And God's watching, what are you going to do? How are you going to react? We get frustrated when God does this, don't we? Because we want God to remove the stumbling block. We want God to crush the boulder, don't we? We want God to make it a smooth path over that pothole. But God sometimes just sits back and He says, okay, I'm going to try my servant Job. I'm going to test my servant Esther. I'm going to see how she reacts in this situation. And so this stumbling block, though some may say, oh, that's a boulder that I can't remove, but it could be a stepping stone if we look at it a little bit differently. You see, we can let doubt cause us to fret and worry, or we can see through the eyes of faith in that moment. We can place our feet upon that rock and walk over the problem and the situation. It don't have to be a stumbling stone. It don't have to be a boulder that you've got to go around. Could it be that we would place our feet upon that rock, upon that step, that stumbling block, and make it a stepping stone? You see, temptation should be a building block, not a stumbling block. Temptation, we should look at it as being something that can build up character in our lives, especially the character that we're trying to seek after, Christ. You see, if I step on the temptation rather than trip over it, something happens. We become more like Christ when we don't give in to temptation. See, for not being dishonest, when I had the opportunity to lie, perhaps you had an opportunity to tell a fib, a white lie, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to resist that temptation. I'm not going to fall for that trap of the enemy. And so you decide to be honest, even though it's not going to perhaps benefit you at the time, and you decide to tell the truth. What happens there? That temptation was not a stumbling block. It was a stepping stone. Because it made you a better person, didn't it? For maybe not get into a conversation that perhaps was putting somebody else down. Perhaps you walked away from that conversation. It could have been a stumbling block. It could have been a snare for you at that moment in time. You could have easily talked to your best friend on the phone about that situation, but you decided, no, I'm going to hang up now. I'm going to find something else to do. I'm going to walk out of that conversation a better man. Huh? That conversation does not have to be a snare for you. It can be a stepping stone. You don't have to be rude and crude. You can say, excuse me for a moment. I've got something else to do. And you can become a better person. By not stealing when the opportunity is there, I can become a more blessed man if I resist that temptation. And you can too. For not being selfish and self-centered, we can become a more caring and loving person if we resist all these temptations. For by not withholding my time, my money, and my life, I can become a cheerful giver. Temptation, listen to this, temptation should build us. Not cause us to trip and stumble. See, we look at temptation all wrong because we need to understand. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about how temptation works. Temptation works four ways. It has four ingredients. And we're going to look back at the book of James. He's going to explain them a little bit in more detail. Let's look at God's word. James said in verse 14 of chapter 1, he says, "But every man is tempted." Let me say that again. Every one of us here is tempted. Every one of us here is tempted. The pastor's tempted. I'm tempted. The Sunday school teacher is tempted. Every one of us is tempted. And this is how it happens. When he is drawn away of his own lust. Verse 14, let's bring it up. Is it up on the screen? Let's see this. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So the first ingredient, the first element of temptation is desire. Everybody say desire. Desire. You see, the flesh starts desiring something wrong. You see, desiring, our flesh desires and it wants to flirt with disaster. Every one of us, we have the same trait in our body. We were all created and was born into sin. And so we have these characteristics in our life. And so we have a desire way down deep within us, this flesh does, to do wrong. Desiring more, greed steps in, the flesh being enticed by evil. And we assume, sometimes in our minds, we assume that all these temptations are on the outside, don't we? We see the billboard. We see something on the television. We hear something on the radio. We see something happening on the job site. All these things, we look at it, oh, they're all around us. Temptations. I heard people always pray this prayer, especially young converts, talking about, oh, man, the devil's on my back. He's throwing all these things in my way, and perhaps he is. And we look at all these things that are around us, all, sometimes all compassed around us, and we're like, how am I going to make it through here? But let me show you something. It's not always the case. Because James goes a little bit in deeper detail. We've got to dive a little bit deeper into God's word because these are the words of Jesus now. Let's turn to Mark chapter 7. And this is Jesus' words now. He's talking to his disciples in verse 20. And he said, talking about Jesus, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man." But notice these words. "For from within, out of the heart of men, this what happens. proceed evil thoughts, adulteries. Oh, not me, preacher. Oh, yes. Fornications, murders. Look at all these things. Thefts, you read through all these scriptures. He says even an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these things are on the inside of us and we don't even know it. It's there sometimes. And then he goes on to say, Jesus speaking, all these evil things, they come from where? From within. And these are the things that cause us stumbling blocks, that defile the man, that destroys us in our spiritual walk with God. It's not necessarily all these things that are around us. Sometimes we need to get to the heart of the matter, don't we? We need to examine ourselves and say, hey, you know what? It's not that coworker that I'm working with. It's not the pastor's fault why I'm struggling in my walk with God. It's not my spouse's fault. You know what you need to do? You need to look at the mirror and you say, you know what? It's that guy. It's that guy that was why I'm giving into temptation. It's this person that I'm staring at. It's way down deep within my heart. There's something deep within me that I've got to change. I've got to change. Temptation comes from within. Going back to James now. James said it this way, chapter 4, verse 1. He said, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Where do they come from? Where do arguments come from? Where do battles come from? Where do all these things, all the unrest in the world, where does it come from? He says, come they not hence even of whose lust? Your lust that war in your members. We can't blame Putin all the time. We can't blame all the crazy leaders of our day. Sometimes it just comes, wars begin way down deep inside of us. So there's a battle going on. He says it wars in what? Your members. In your members. So we have evil desires within. We have evil desires and temptations all around us. And also we have the next element. What was the first element or the first ingredient? We talked about the first ingredient of temptation was what? Desire. Now we're going to go a little bit further. We're going to find the second ingredient. The next is doubt. Everybody say doubt. You have desire, then you have doubt. Satan will try to get us to always doubt God, to always doubt His word, to always doubt His power, to always doubt God's ability, and to doubt His promises. This is temptation for us. But we have to crush this stumbling block under our feet. The writer in Hebrews says it this way. I like what this writer says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. He says these words, take heed, brethren. Notice he's addressing the church here. He's saying, take heed, brethren, lest, now watch, we've got to read it carefully, lest there be in, everybody say in me, in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. Doubt. He said, you need to take heed. Brethren, he wasn't talking to sinners here. He said, let me just open it up for us this morning, the church of the living God. Let me just preach to you for a few minutes. He said, take heed, church, lest there be inside of you an evil that we don't like to talk about. An evil, it's a heart of unbelief. It's not trusting in God. You say, pastor, preacher, that's not me. Oh, yes, it is at times. Let that stumbling block come in your way, and you can't get around it. You can't get over it. That hardship, that trial, that test in your life, that sickness that you can't explain why it won't go away and the doctor doesn't even know why. You let a situation come in your life, all of a sudden something creeps within, doesn't it? It's doubt. That's right. Doubt creeps in and we start questioning God. So he says, if there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You see, temptation consists of desires, it consists of doubt, and then the third element, deception. Everybody say deception. Deception. See, if temptation can entice you with desire from within, and if temptation can cause you to doubt, it will certainly, the next step is going to deceive you. You're going to be deceived. Satan is the inventor of deception, isn't he? Yes. Scripture says that he's the father of all lies. Yet we always tend to believe what he says. He'll even lie about God. I can go way back, and I'm running out of time, but we could go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. He used deception on Eve, didn't he? He started twisting God's word around. And he'll do it in our lives. Because when we start having that sinful desire, and we start having doubt creep in, all of a sudden he knows we're vulnerable for deception. And that's when he's going to come in his strongest. It's going to be when you start doubting. It's going to be when he sees and notices you. He's not omnipresent, but he every once in a while he pays a visit to our house, doesn't he? I know he knows where 1413 Matthew Drive is, and he knows where you live. And so the devil every once in a while comes in, and when he starts noticing you, start giving in to doubt and desires, and all of a sudden he says, all right, this is a good time to deceive somebody. Let's throw in the other ingredient for temptation. Let me try to deceive them. Let me try to lie to them. Let me try and lie about that pastor. Let me try and lie about that person. Let me try and put these lies out in front of them. Let me see if I can get them and entrap them and cause them to fall and stumble. Am I making sense this morning? Deceive you with his lies. And if the desires within and the doubt begins to stir questions, and the deception now works its way through, now then all of a sudden it breeds a fourth ingredient, a fourth element. It causes the final stage of temptation, disobedience. So we have desire, we have doubt, we have deception, and now the fourth and final stage of temptation, we have disobedience. You finally act upon the desires and the doubt and the deception by disobeying. Is that not what James said in his writing? Let's read verse 14 again, chapter 1. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, when the lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. So when the doubt, the desire, the deception, all these things are now in way down deep within, disobedience happens. We finally follow the stumbling block. We finally fall into the snare. We disobey what we know is wrong. And we give in to temptation. And it becomes a stumbling block for us. He says, and when sin is finished, what does it say? Death and destruction. So, now that we know what temptation consists of, what does it consist of? Desire, doubt, deception, and then finally disobedience. So now, in this lesson, I've taught you what temptation consists of. So how do we make that stumbling block a stepping stone? I'm going to talk about three things. I could talk about a whole lot more, but I'm running out of time. The first thing that you need to do is you don't need to be afraid. Fear, we give in to fear probably more than any other thing out there right now. Often Christians are afraid. They're afraid of giving in. They're afraid that there's something wrong with them because they're being tempted. You ever felt like that? You could come off a great Sunday service, and by Sunday night, there's some evil thought comes your way, or something that a temptation is there, and all of a sudden you start being afraid. God, sometimes we even repent right then, oh God, please forgive me for that thought. Please forgive me for doing those things. And all of a sudden fear creeps in and we're afraid now. We're afraid. We're losing our grip with God. And there's nothing wrong with that. There ought to be some conviction upon us every once in a while. Can I get amen? Amen. But we start becoming afraid and we're like, God, what am I going to do now? Do I need to go pray again? Perhaps we might. But Jesus, we got to remember that even Christ himself was tempted. The writer of Hebrews said it this way of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 16, describing Jesus, he said, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels. He could have, but he didn't. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, I love this part. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, and because he was tempted, the Bible says he is able to secure them that are tempted, talking about us. Christ could have easily, he could have not even been born in the womb. He could have did it another way. But he chose not to live as an angel, not to live as some celestial being that couldn't be touched by our hands, but he robed himself in flesh. And he became a man, and he went through temptations. As a young boy, we don't want to think about it, but Jesus was tempted to steal. As a young boy, Jesus was tempted to disobey his mother. He was tempted, the same things that we're tempted with, rebellion. All these things, I could go in great detail about what he was tempted about. But I think we understand that he was all points tempted like as we are. Because you read a few chapters later, it proves this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like who? Just like you and I. You know what though? This was the difference. When he seen the stumbling block, when he seen the boulder, when he seen the pothole, you know what he did? He didn't go around it. He didn't get afraid. What did he do? He stepped on it. I could go back into Matthew when he was being tempted by the devil, how the devil came to him and began to tempt him concerning his word. You know what Christ did? He resisted that temptation.
Yes, he did.
And he defeated the devil with his own word. He made that occasion, that point in his life, not a stumbling block, but he made it a stepping stone. Jesus was not afraid to face temptation. He didn't see temptation as a stumbling block, but he saw it as a stepping stone. He crushed every element on that day. We're fixing to talk about Easter. This is Palm Sunday. Easter's next week. But let me just tell you that he defeated desire, doubt, deception, and disobedience when he walked up a rough and rugged road on the way to Calvary. Every step that he took, you know what he was doing? He was crushing doubt. Every step that he took on that road to Calvary, you know what he was doing? He was crushing deception. He was crushing disobedience. He was crushing all these things that we face. The lies, the hatred, the envy, the malice, all the works of the flesh. You know what he was doing when he walked up Calvary's here? He, when he began to bleed out, I want to tell you what was happening. He was using that point in his life not as a stumbling block, but he was using that point in his life as a stepping stone for you and I. He walked up Calvary's hill to save you and I. So we don't need to be afraid when the stumbling block is in our way. The second thing is we don't need to be foolish. I like Paul's word found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. He says these words, "Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it? For your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." I tell you why we give into temptation the majority of the times. Can I say it this way without offending anybody? We're stupid. I'll say it about myself. We're stupid. The scripture says that we are fully aware. You've heard enough preaching since I've been here almost 4 years. You've heard enough preaching and teaching in this pulpit. You should be fully aware of every one of Satan's tactics. Every one of us are. But yet we're foolish at times. We do stupid things. But he says, Paul says, if you'll fall in love with Jesus, he said, if you'll confirm it. Every once in a while, we need every once in a while to confirm our love for God. And we do that by resisting temptation. He said to ask for forgiveness. He said to forgive others. And he says, be aware of Satan's devices. What did Peter say? Can we quote it today? Be sober. Let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. What is he saying? Be alert. He's saying, be wise, be not foolish, be sober, be vigilant, because there's somebody after your soul. And he's like a roaring lion. He's not a lion, but he acts like it sometimes. So he's saying, you need to be wise. Why are you falling for that? Why are you going all the time to that internet site? Why are you always calling that friend that you know is going to gossip? Why are you doing things over and over again that are so foolish, when you should be sober?
That's right.
Am I teaching this morning?
It's the truth. It is the truth.
Be sober, be vigilant. Be smart, people. Be smart. You need to learn to recognize and identify. If I had about another 20 minutes, I wish I could teach about it. You need to examine your life. The scripture says, examine yourself to see whether you be in the what? The faith. To be in the truth. He says, examine yourself, not the people around you. Examine your life. And every once in a while, you need to go back on the files of your mind and you need to say, you know what? The last time I gave into temptation, what was happening? Who was I hanging around? Was I alone? Was I with somebody? Was I in a place I shouldn't be? Was I watching something I wasn't supposed to watch? Was I listening to a song I wasn't supposed to be listening to? Hello? We need to examine ourselves and be smart. We need to say, okay, the reason I keep falling for this temptation, I want to tell every one of us this morning, we all have weaknesses. You won't hear a whole lot of teaching like this in the pulpits these days, because this is good, honest teaching and truth. You've got to admit, we are the teaching that goes on in a lot of pulpits across this nation teaches humanism. Almost. To the point where they say, I'm my own God. I can be more than a conqueror. I can do all these things in Christ. And those things are good, and they're scripture. But I want to tell you, there are sometimes we got to realize, you know what? I'm a rotten, stinking, filthy rag. I need to humble myself before the Lord and admit my sins and admit my guilt and my shame and admit my problems and my weaknesses. I need to share my weaknesses with my pastor or my brother to help me become stronger. But we're so afraid.
Amen.
We're so scared. We're scared to open up our hearts. We're also foolish because we fall for the same mistakes. We know our weaknesses. You ought to know what makes you weak. You shouldn't have to have a preacher get in the pulpit and just spell it out for you. You need to have a sense of mind that when you leave this place, you need to get in your prayer closet and say, okay, God, this is what I'm battling. Okay. Let me talk about David. I shouldn't have went on that rooftop, God. I should have been out in the battle that day, God.
That's right.
I shouldn't have been lusting after Bathsheba. And he did that in Psalms 51. He realized, you know what? I was a foolish man. I shouldn't have been in that place. I should have been out on the battlefield. I wasn't smart, God. So create me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He prayed that prayer. That was not just a writing that he just penned as a poem. That was a prayer. David realized, you know, I've been foolish, God. I've been foolish. He said in another passage, so foolish was I. I was as a beast before you, God. David understood that he was a foolish man at times. And he wasn't afraid to share that with God. He said, you know, I was so foolish. I was as a beast before you, God. I don't even deserve this crown that you gave to me. That's why he took his robe. He didn't have a problem taking that robe and crown off at times and worshiping his God. He realized his place. Don't be foolish. Stay off the grass that causes you to sin. Don't touch the wet paint. It's going to stain you. Be sober. Don't let a stone. Sometimes our stones are just small pebbles that we could easily walk over them, but we allow it to trip us. The third thing, moving quickly, because I'm about out of time. We got to watch and pray. When Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, he called his disciples who were supposed to be praying with him. They were sleeping. He said these words. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, he said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. As we stand this morning, we've got to learn to pray, but also watch. Watch and pray. You see, prayer is a key to kind of help you be sensitive to some things. Fasting is a key too. I should have threw that in there, but let me just throw it in there for good measure. When you pray and you fast, you should be watching for some things in your life. You should be starting, your sensitive feelers ought to be going out about, you know what, I need to change some things. It may not be for anybody but you. How many times have God perhaps dealt with you on a subject that you never heard in the pulpit? Maybe you never heard, you knew your pastor didn't even probably preach against a certain subject, but you just felt the Spirit prompting you and teaching you and leading you to do something in your life, something that you needed to change. Because it was a weakness that you had. And God wanted you to watch and pray to see perhaps that you would take that stumbling block and turn it into a stepping stone. I preached, 2 weeks ago about becoming a knight in shining armor. And that's what you got to do. Paul said in his address there in Ephesians, finally, lastly, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. putting on the whole armor of God. We talked about the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So that's what watching and praying is for. Putting on the whole armor of God. Why is it so important to make a stumbling block a stepping stone? Why is it so important that we look at temptation differently? I'll tell you why. Going back to our opening passage, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You see, when you step, instead of walking around, instead of praying to remove the stumbling block, when you decide to step on a stumbling block, when you decide not to give in to temptation, you know what you're doing? Let's pretend this is a rock. When you lift up your leg and you start stepping on that stumbling block and make it a stepping stone, you know what you're happening as your feet goes downward? You're crushing that boulder. You're crushing that problem. You're crushing that rock. And you know what you're forming? You're forming a gem for a crown of life. A crown of life. When you look at temptation and you say, no, not this time, I'm not going to be foolish. When you look at that problem, that situation, you say, no, I'm not going to fall for that again, devil. When you look at that situation, you say, no, I'm not going to give in to that sin. Not this time. You're taking that stumbling block and you're crushing it into a gem. You see, Easter was made possible when a God made a stumbling block a stepping stone. When they rolled that stone over that grave, that boulder that took several men, Roman soldiers, to cover his grave. Because of what he did way back in Gethsemane, that we just read. When he took that stumbling block, when his flesh was saying, not my will, I don't want to do this. My flesh, even God Almighty was saying, I don't want to go where I've got to go. I don't want them to stab me. I don't want them to spit on me. I don't want them to pull my hair out. I don't want them to put the crown of thorns on my head. But he won that battle. He used that stumbling block. As a stepping stone. And so, on the third day, because he defeated doubt, desire, deception, disobedience in a garden, that rock had no problem moving out of his way on the third day. I want to tell you, if you'll learn to look at temptation differently, say, you know what? This is not going to be a stumbling block. This is going to be a stepping stone in my life. You're going to see the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ coming to that moment in time of your life. And guess what? You're going to leave that situation. You're going to leave that problem. All that victorious. You're going to use that as a stepping stone for God to make you more like Him. Why don't we clap our hands unto the Lord right now? Come on, why don't we lift up our voice unto Him and say, God, help me, Lord, to be wise. God, help me, Lord, to be prayerful. God, help me, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God, to resist the temptations of this hour. I want to see you excel in God. And you do that by turning stumbling blocks into stepping stones. We're going to take a short break. Philip, it's good to see you this morning. Good to see Debbie here and our visitors. And we're going to have more come in. Let's create the atmosphere in this place. Let's let somebody, let's not be a stumbling block to somebody today in worship. Let's be a stepping stone. Let's help somebody find God. If you're going to do that, why don't you greet one another in the name of the Lord and say, I'm going to be a stepping stone today. I'm going to create an atmosphere God can use somebody today. God bless you. Let's take a short break.